If you'd be so nice to get your pew Bibles out to Matthew chapter 21. We'll begin reading at verse 23. Interesting narrative about Jesus' authority being questioned. And then Jesus' wonderful little parable about the two sons. The Word of God. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argue with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of this, his holy word. Yes, I believe our Lord Jesus is, to use a colloquialism, is ticked. Anne Brown says, "I've never heard our Lord Jesus' words spoken like that." Must be a little redneck from Richmond. Will you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious Lord, thank you for those words of Jesus which continue to challenge us to do as you would have us to do and not just to give it a lot of yakety yak. Gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kirkwood, glad to be back in your midst. I missed y'all for 2 weeks. First of all, got Jimmy Harvey married, Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. And then the next weekend, I got Lawson married up in Portland, Maine. Everybody is happy. And I'm happy to see your faces again, too. All right, our Lord Jesus, can you tell he's ticked? Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Ever notice how many times in the New Testament Jesus and the religious elite experience a clash of wills? This morning in our Matthean text, Jesus has just finished cleansing the temple of money changers and dove sellers. The religious elite questioned him as to what authority allowed him to do such an action, to take such an action against the temple machinery. Jesus answers by asking them a question about John the Baptist's ministry. Was it authorized by God, or was it of human origin? The elite refused to answer, worried about popular opinion. So Jesus, he refuses to answer. And then Jesus gives that brilliant parable about the two sons. Which of the two did the father's will? The one who said he would, but did not? Or the one who said no, and changed his mind, and did it? The answer is, of course, as Janine said, the one who did it. Emphasis on doing, not just saying. And so Jesus says, the repentant tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before the religious elite. It's not about intentions, it's about actions. Dr. James Moore, who once upon a time was the pastor of First United Methodist in Houston, characterizes this condition as akin to the legacy of what you and I will leave behind when we take our last breath. When people look at us after we have died, did our lives impact others in the form of how much did we help others? Did our lives reflect that we are friends with God? Or will people say none of our actions reflected any kind of relationship to the good Lord? Did we influence anyone else so that they could see Jesus in our deeds? I admit the past several minutes has been very uncomfortable for us because it forces us to really take a long, hard look at who we are and what we do. Are we living only for ourselves or are we living for God? It's not so much what we say, it's what we do. That's what's really important to God. Suppose you are a Sunday school teacher of adults, or maybe you work with our youth. If you stand up week after week and quote scripture and speak about the importance of love and forgiveness and patience and gentleness and self-control, but on Tuesday or Wednesday, your neighbors hear you cussing out your spouse or telling your child how stupid he or she is, your actions are going to speak a whole lot louder than your pious words on Sunday morning. If you are always telling others the need to be transparent and honest, but someone notices you absconding with monies from the fundraiser, your witness is going to ring hollow. To truly repent means you learn from your mistakes and you don't keep repeating them over and over and over. This is not to say the kingdom of God is only for perfect people. If that were the case, no one would gain entrance except our Lord Jesus. What that means is that folks who mess up, fess up. And they're on their way to the kingdom of God, way ahead of only say the right thing, folks. I wonder how many people stay away from the organized church because they have seen too many holier-than-thous on Sunday morning, only to see them act out the opposite on Thursday afternoon or evening. Did you tell me Lucille goes to church? By their fruits, you will know them, our Lord said. He's not talking so much about fruit trees as he is the quality of your life and mine. He's saying spend less time complimenting yourself and spend more time doing those things which please God. Spend more time doing the will of God. Now, if you need a cheat sheet, yeah, where do I go to look? Look at Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Greatest sermon ever preached. Period. But unless you and I put those words into practice, they remain only words on a piece of paper. Don't let Jesus' sermon go unheeded in your life and mine. There is still time for a course correction. Oops. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, thank you for showing us it's not what we say, yep, 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 it's what we do that pleases you. Heavenly Father, make our words and actions in congruence with your heavenly will. In Jesus' name we pray.